Perhaps you've had the opportunity to see Mike Lewis, the Jesus painter, in person or in action. I've had the opportunity to see him on two different occasions, and it's always a fascinating process as he tells the story through picture, either the story of our lives or a message from the scripture, and then ends up at Jesus, where we ought to end up. As I consider the words of St. Paul from Philippians chapter 1, as well as the theme that we began last week of being good news people, people whose lives are lived in response to the grace of God, I began to see a connection between a canvas and our lives. As people look at us, what do they see? What do we want them to see? Perhaps most importantly, what are they meant to see? Usually what people see and what we want them to see are pretty closely related. It's the reason why we post commemorations of celebrations and beautiful pictures of ourselves, our families, and our friends on social media, instead of tributes to the times where we lost it with our kids, ignored our spouse, and battled the flu at home in our 15-year-old pajamas. We dress a certain way. We take care of our homes and our yards, not only for our own sake, but because to a degree, those things are reflections of us. Now, clothes and homes and yards are one thing, but for a moment, let's go even one step further. Imagine your loved ones, family and friends, gathered in a room like this for a funeral. Your funeral. Your life on this earth is complete. And as your children gather together to look back on your life, as they come to put together the picture boards, perhaps, or prepare a few words of family tribute, how do you hope they will have seen you and the years you had together? What would you hope the canvas of your life would look like to them? Someone were to ask St. Paul what he hoped people would see when they looked at him, I believe his answer would come quickly and enthusiastically. I want them to see Jesus. I need them to see Jesus. We hear it, for example, in his words in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the picture. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus. I'm dead. Jesus is alive in me. He says it a different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. He says, along with the other apostles, we always carry in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. In other words, when people see my body, they see the body of my life and my work. Who do I want them to see? I want them to see Jesus. Then our text today from Philippians chapter 1 says it well as well. When Paul's reflecting on his experience of being in prison, this is what he writes. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Why is Paul excited? He's excited because he sees the gospel advancing. Because the people around him, guards, prisoners, you name it, see that he's there for the cause of Christ. The reason he is a prisoner is that Jesus has been on display in his life. People have seen and heard Jesus through him. And at least a few people have been offended by it. That's why he's in prison. In other words, for Paul, sitting there in prison, things are working out exactly as he had hoped. He'll say a little bit later, for me to live is Christ. Last week we introduced this idea of being good news people, people whose presence, words, and actions translate as good news for others. We heard that good news people trust in the unmatched mercy and the forgiveness of God, and as a result, we freely and fully forgive those who sin against us. Today, Paul teaches us that good news people are meant to put Jesus on display. When others look at the canvas that is our lives, that they would see Jesus. But how does that happen? Is it simply a matter of instruction, rules to follow, maybe 10 quick steps that look like commandments that will get you looking like Jesus in time for Advent? Now, the commandments do serve a great job of describing to us what it looks like when we put Jesus on display in our lives. But do the commandments have the power to get us there? Is it enough to ask, what would Jesus do and do it? Or how would Jesus look and then look like it? If only it were so easy. Unfortunately, left to ourselves, a canvas would never end up looking like this, looking like Jesus. By nature, by default, we proclaim with our attitudes and our actions that our life is meant for us, and to die is loss. We so badly want to cover the canvas of our lives with a portrait that depicts us well, as competent, as strong, as put together. Which is why when something comes along that makes us feel weak or dependent, we get frustrated. It's not only an attack on our way of life, it's a blemish on the portrait that we've been working so hard to put together. It's to people like this, to people like you and me, that Jesus comes and says, "Give me the brush. Give me the brush." Now, typically speaking, when we've messed up our own self-portrait enough, if we've done poorly enough, it becomes easier to give the brush away. Lord, I've completely ruined this, and I trust that you can only do better than I have. So, Lord, here you go. Often it's more difficult to hand over control, to hand over the brush, so to speak, when we feel like we're doing a pretty good job up to this point. Paul, at one point, was one of these latter folks, a person who thought he was doing a pretty good job of painting the picture of his own life. In the eyes of his fellow countrymen, the canvas of Paul conveyed righteousness, competence, intelligence, zeal. He had no use for another artist to paint his portrait until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, knocked him off his horse, and literally ripped the brush right out of his hand. Perhaps we can imagine Paul grieving as his former way of life in those initial days was being deconstructed before him, as Jesus whitewashed the canvas that Paul had created, had painted for himself. But then something began to happen. Jesus, who had called him, Jesus, who had washed him in the water and had taken up residence in him, began to paint anew Paul's portrait. And Paul, enlivened by the Spirit, rejoiced to discover that his life had been redeemed for the work that had been created for from the beginning, to display not his own life, not his own competence, not his own strength, but Jesus. You see, the old Paul would have seen imprisonment as a great obstacle in his mission of self-promotion. The redeemed Paul rejoiced that Jesus was on display, even in his prison. The old Paul would have preferred life to death. The new Paul, the redeemed Paul, saw Jesus at work in both. To live as Christ, yes, fruitful labor for me. To die is gain. To be with him is far better. The old Paul sought victory by inflicting suffering on his enemies. The redeemed Paul rejoiced in Jesus at work in his suffering and in the shared suffering of his fellow believers as a means by which Jesus perfects and beautifies his image in our lives and on our canvas for all the world to see. And Paul knew this all to be true because he had come to know the one at work in him, the one who was pleased to take up our form, truly God, becoming a man, bearing our image, coming into our world, having his canvas covered with our form, so that he might humble himself, even to the point of death, even death on a cross, to save us, and to remove our sin from us, and to renew his image in us. So as good news people, you and I are invited again to hand over the brush and to trust the work of another. Moreover, we are invited to celebrate this reality that our master artist is an expert at redeeming everything. Not only has he redeemed your past and covered your sin by his blood, but he has the power to redeem every circumstance and to use it for his glory. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So, are you healthy and well? Is your life going pretty well right now? Then rejoice and praise God as the master artist paints his image on your canvas in the opportunities you have received to love and to serve the people entrusted to you. Are you sick? Are you struggling with weakness? Then rejoice and give thanks to God as the master artist paints his image on your canvas and the opportunities that you have to trust in him in the midst of your weakness and to model that trust for others. Have you been wronged? Has someone hurt you? Rejoice and praise God as the master artist paints his image on your canvas and the opportunities you have to remember his love, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, and to in turn share that forgiveness with others. Have you messed up? Have you sinned against someone else? Well, rejoice. Don't rejoice in your sin. Don't rejoice in the hurt that you've caused. But rejoice in the fact that even now, your master artist, your Savior, has not abandoned you. Does not abandon the canvas of your life, but is willing and able to redeem even your failures as he paints his image on your canvas, as you are humbled, reminded of your weakness and dependence, reminded even more of his unfailing love, his patience, his forgiveness for sinners, for you and for me. We are good news people. Because the canvas of our lives has been redeemed. It has been claimed and it is being painted anew by another, by Jesus. Praise God for that. May he bless us to trust his redeeming artistry, that our lives may bear witness to his beauty, to his creativity, and to his saving love, that others may see Jesus in us. In his name, amen.